You're now tuned in for A Tickle and the Ken Dodd Show. Here he is, the star of the Ken Dodd Show, that jocular joker full of jollification jelly and jube-jubes, that gibbering jester with a jumble of general jollity and juicy jibes, Jen Dodd. Ken Dodd!
Here we are, Ma. Here we are, Ma. I'm home. I'm back home after fighting the foe. I've been away foe fighting.
There he is,
marching
with his regiment.
Woo! Hello, Flo. I've been out fighting the foe, Flo.
Did you get more nectar?
Yes, it was delicious, Flo. Hooray! We're home again. After putting pay to the foe, we had a good go with the foe, Flo, and they won't trouble us again, Flo, because they know that if they do, we'll give them what for, Flo. Ha-ha! We taught the blighters a lesson they'll never forget.
Oh, right then. That's the way it is it?
Cheerio, Flo. I'm off again, Flo. Off to fight the foe, Flo. We'll show them this time. We'll show them that we're not going to be messed about like this. Hello, Flo. Goodbye, Flo. We don't know where we are, do we, Flo? We'll get stuck into them.
They must have gone without me. I wish they wouldn't do that. I mean, it leaves me standing here in all me twosomeness. I've never been so embarrassed in all me dicky mint. Still, as Shakespeare said, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle dew from heaven. So, to the lot of you. Here is a very unusual recording of a hen laying a bowling ball. And with that, he donned the reversible shirt and walked through the window. By Jove! By Jove, what a beautiful day for owing money. Just look at all the office girls sitting on the grass in their beautiful... And look at all the men stretched out pretending to read the newspaper. I know what you lot are up to! Look at that respectable young office gent pretending to be asleep with his bowler hat over his face. He's got two little holes cut in the brim. Here's a place I've always wanted to see. The War Office. I'll go in. Now, that's what you call a War Office. Hi, Joe. I wouldn't fancy working there.
Hello, buddy. It's Eddie.
Good gracious me. It's a little diddy man and his little diddy wife, Mr. and Mrs. Smalley. Where have you two been?
To see my little diddy mother-in-law.
Yes, little diddy mother-in-law.
Ah, that's nice.
I don't like her.
No, Eddie, that's like her.
You don't like her? Well, why don't you like your little diddy mother-in-law?
She tries to make me look small.
Listen, wait a minute. Come back here a minute. Where do you two little diddy people live?
In Diddyland.
Yes, in Diddyland.
And have you got any little diddy children?
Four boys and six girls.
What a large diddy family you have. If you know what I mean.
Yes, I come now.
Yes, well, thank you very much. Yes. Bye bye, diddy people.
Bye bye, diddy.
What nice little diddy people.
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that if you were to try to remove a Zulu warrior's teeth with a chisel, he'd give you the biggest eye dinner you've ever had in your life?
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that the Highland Games high jump record was shattered by one Angus McMacamack shortly after a Shetland pony, astride which was a 9-year-old boy carrying a pitchfork, had bolted up the leg of his kilt?
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that once during the mating season, a short-sighted tortoise spent 3 days trying to make a date with a disused bowler?
Well, what do you know?
Did you know that in recognition of his services to the BBC, producer William Worsley is to have his head shaved?
Well, what do you know?
If I was to ask you the names of two talented young gentlemen with a sound distinctly their own, there could only be one answer, and here they are, the Morgan James Duo.
Bye. Tell the difference.
I can't either.
No, I can't tell the difference.
I just can't tell the difference.
Well, it's a pity, really, because you've all just eaten a bucket full of putty. What is a dad? A dad is that middle-aged, dumpy, roly-poly puddin' of a gentleman, brushing his hair like mad to try and cover up his little baldy patch. Dad is the one who's always saying,
"When I was your age, I only got tuppence a week."
And he gets very angry when you say to him, "And aren't you glad you came to live with us?" A dad is the man who's always saying that he's as fit now as ever he was, and to prove it, he touches his toes and collapses. Dad knows where he belongs. He feels safe and secure in the warm, loving atmosphere of the pub at the corner of the road. Dad is the one who's always doing the little odd jobs. At least Mum says they are. Dad can make more noise sitting down in his chair than anyone else. And then he tells Mum to be more careful where she leaves her knitting. When a dad reaches a certain age, he begins to slow down. He tires more easily. This usually happens when he's about 25. That's the time when you should look after your dad like you would a friend. Give him VitaDad tablets. After only one bottle of VitaDad tablets, this 58-year-old dad said... Hello, all you beekeeping maniacs. This is your old beekeeping friend, Adam Skunk. I'll not keep you a minute. I'm just spreading some fresh honey into the wife's Wellington. Lovely. Now, about this business of keeping bees. Well, when I first took up this hobby, I didn't know a thing about bees. I always thought that to get the honey from a bee, you needed a little empty jam jar, a pair of tweezers, and a very low stool. And it wasn't until I bought a book on beekeeping that I stopped lifting the little blighters under their perches every night. I was out there for hours. I grant you that there's a lot of hard work goes into keeping bees, but there's nothing gives the beekeeper greater joy than when a dirty, great, big bumblebee lands on the wife's nose and lets her have a swift jab on the conch. The wife, she's relaxing now in the hammock that I put up for her. I tied one end to a tree and the other end to the back of a 74 bus. Now, I've had these bees of mine for years now. Just look at that old bee over there. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the wife's mother with her striped cardigan on. Now, you don't need me to tell you that there are two types of bees. There are the worker bees and the lazy bees. Now, the worker bees fly from flower to flower, and they have little sacks on their legs which they fill with pollen. Not much fun, is it? I mean, imagine your good lady going to the supermarket and putting all the groceries into little sacks on her legs. Now, I'm going to take the front off this bee hutch, but first I blow in some of this powder, which is quite harmless, but does put the little bees to sleep. That way you won't get stung. There we are. They're all fast asleep now. Now, off with the front cover. All the bees will remain asleep for about half an hour, or even 30 minutes. Now, you don't need to tell me. You don't need me to tell you that when this happens, there's only one thing to do. Head straight for the goldfish pond.
Let's open up our history books and turn back the pages some 400 years, and we should meet Sir Doddy, the knight irritant, on his way to rescue yet another fair damosel.
I am the bold Sir Doddy, and I'll fight anybody, no matter how big she be, no matter how big she be. Whoa, me trusty steed.
I wish you'd get an horse like all the other knights, Sir Doddy.
Hush, Violet. Violet. I am about to bang on yonder castle gates and rescue the fair damsel from the clutches of Rufus the Filthy.
Why do they call him Rufus the Filthy?
Ooh, unhand me, sire.
Any more questions? I challenge you, Rufus the Filthy, to do some combating with me, Kenneth the Beautiful. Lower your portcullis.
That was a rotten trick to do, that was.
I am Rufus the Filthy. Son of Dick the Disgusting. Grandson of Rupert the Repulsive. Great grandson of Hymie the Grimy. What are you doing here?
I'm on night work. I challenge you to a duel, thouest. Choose your weaponsest. Balloons, yo-yos, knotty tea towels.
I prefer the sword.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll call again, then.
Bunga! Trust them, Harry!
Lover and Hardy!
Touché!
Bless you!
Here, what are we dueling for, anyway?
Oh, well, for the hand of the fair damsel imprisoned within your castle.
Oh, well, if that's the case.
You've won.
Oh, isn't that lovely, eh? You've won me. You can have me in wedlock.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I only wanted you for a present for my serf here.
Yeah. Don't you go lumbering that old rat bag onto me.
Oh, come on. Don't be mean. You've got to think. I've got to be skinny. Go on. Somebody's got to have her. I know something.
Where's me chef?
You are.
Where's me chef?
I don't know.
Where's me chef? Where is he?
I don't know.
I can't find me chef. Where's me chef?
What's he looking like?
He's got no sleeves, no collar, no tail.
Sounds more like a singer.
Well, where me singlet then?
Are you talking then?
Yes.
What are you talking like that for?
Like what?
Saying yes.
Well, I always talk like that when you come by me shirt. Where me shirt?
Your teeth are in cold. It's fine pudding.
I don't want pudding. I want me shirt.
Been boiling away for hours, that poor man.
Now, well, I'll have it done. And then I'll have another look for me shirt. I found me shirt.
Is that what I was boiling the pudding in?
Where's me spoon?
You are.
Where's my spoon? I found my shirt. Now I want my spoon. You can't eat pudding with a shirt. Where's my spoon?
So still runs the river on its journey to the sea. So still beats my heart for your far, so far away from me. So still runs the river while I wake upon the shore. Amore ritorne, for my love goes on forevermore, like the river. Pebble in the river, we watched the ripples flow. You sighed, my darling, see, my darling, that's just the way our love will grow. Then I kissed you, how I remember, but oh, I never knew that like the ripples on the water, your love would soon be fading too. So still runs the river on its journey to the sea. So still beats my heart for your far, so far away from me. So still runs the river while I wait upon the shore. Amore ritorne, for my love goes on forevermore, like the river forevermore, like the river.
Again, it's muddle time. For the next couple of minutes, we have the company of not the world's best, but the world's worst. Men like Mr. Dodlop, the world's worst dentist.
And you say that the dentures I made for you are a bit too tight? Right, whatever then. Open your mouth wide.
Now meet Commander Jack Doddikins, the worst submarine captain in the Royal Navy.
Right, steady as she goes, number one. Steady as she goes. Right, take her up. Right, now we're surfaced. Stop engines. Right, open the hatch.
Love, 40.
Oh.
This is Reggie Doddlepuppy, the worst man ever to own a beauty parlor for poodles.
Come along now, come along now. Come along, Boofle. Come along. My goodness, how long is it since you had a trim, little chap?
And how about Arnold Dothorpe, the worst organist ever to play at a wedding?
Here comes the bride now.
Listen now to Kenneth Stoddart, the worst man ever to run a Lonely Hearts Club.
You know, I can't understand this at all. I can't understand this. I mean, when I introduced you to one another last week, I thought you were a perfect match. What's gone wrong?
Well, it's not my fault.
It's not my fault either.
Explain.
And Byron Dodd is still the world's worst poet.
You met me coming out of work. You shouted, "I'm here, you great big lovely thing, you." I held my head. I didn't feel well. You said, "I wish you'd go to the chemist's and get something. You'd be much better." We ate some ham and each had a pickle. Then you said, "Woohoo, I do fancy a cigarette." In the woods, I remember your laughter. You said, "On your way, I know what your little game is, my lad."
And now listen to the heartbreaking saga of Jonah Dodd, the world's unluckiest sailor.
I am Jonah Dodd, the world's unluckiest sailor. My story begins in the year 1800... But hang on a minute, shipmates, while I fills me pipe. Lovely. I arrived at Nottingham Harbour to report aboard the good ship Naughty Nelly. I had a couple of minutes to spare, so I sat down on a capstan and burnt a flippin' big hole in me bell bottoms. I stepped aboard the Naughty Nelly and went below. All the members of the crew were showing one another photos of their wives and children.
That's horrible. Put it away.
One of the sailors was on the dog watch.
There's one.
A member of the crew came over to welcome me aboard.
Welcome aboard. Hello.
Hiya.
I'm Ned, the cabin boy. Ned, cabin boy.
You're knocking on a bit for a cabin boy, aren't you?
I'm 102. I've been a cabin boy for 87 years, and next week I get my promotion to the rank, of...
I threw him an iron life belt, but it was no use. Me jinx had struck already.
Hello, Cheeky.
Who are you?
I'm the mate.
Who's mate?
Anybody's. Come here.
You're not my mate. Go on, up it.
Avast, Bjorn!
Who was? Oh, he was the captain. He had a black patch over both eyes, and he kept walking into the mast.
Oh! Hold on there, hold on. I can't move.
What's to do?
Oh, I had my peg leg fast in a knot hole. Hold on, my beauty. I be captain of this here ship. I've just returned from India.
I wondered why you had that elephant on your shoulder.
Hold on, my pretty. I be Captain Dan. Likely you heard tell of I.
You're not Dan, Dan.
Hold on! My lovely little flower.
Just then I heard the crew up on deck singing shanties. I sat down on a keg of tomatoes, nuts, and tangerines. Leastways, that's what it had printed on the side. TNT. I sat there and lit me pipe. I'm sorry, Captain. I didn't mean to do that.
Clap that man in irons!
2 days out at sea, me jinx had struck again. The ship's cat had puppies. To keep me out of trouble, the skipper gave me a hook and a line and told me to do a bit of fishing. Captain, Captain!
Hold on, my dear.
I've caught a monster eel.
A monster eel? Oh, no. He couldn't have. He hasn't.
He has. And it took the GPO 6 months to relay the transatlantic telephone cable. I was so fed up with the way things were going, that night I went below, and I sat on a barrel of tarpaulin, nails, and tacks, and lit me pipe.
I ain't never been shipwrecked on a desert island before.
It's nice, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's...
What are we going to do for food?
Oh, I've seen to that, Captain. I've dug a flipping big hole, and if anybody comes along...
Wow!
Oh, I see you found it.
When I get out of here, I'll have your ears for ashtrays. Oil!
Captain, you've got nothing to worry about. You've got nothing to worry about because I've got some wonderful news for you.
Are you seriously ill?
No, it's better than that. I've found a lifeboat.
A lifeboat? Aha! We're saved. Oh, my lovely sailor, help me up.
Here you are, come on then. There you are. I knew you'd be pleased to hear about this lifeboat, Captain.
I am. My lovely man. Right, where's this lifeboat?
Well, you see, I smashed it up so we can make a big fire. Huh? And then we can signal with the fire for a boat to come and rescue us.
Oh, no.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
Lifeboat. Stranded on this island with you for months.
Not months, Captain, because a ship passes here every 30 years.
No! I mean,
don't upset yourself like that. Come and sit next to me on this box of treacle, nanas and tapioca, and we'll have a smoke. Here.
No!
Here's the recipe for this week's Tickle Tonic. John Sater, Peter Hudson, Patricia Hayes, Wallace Eaton, the Morgan James duo, and Judith Chan. With the BBC Review Orchestra, leader Julian Guyard, conductor Malcolm Lockyer. The script was written by Eddie Braben and Ken Dahl, and the show, which is recorded, was produced by Bill West.